The COVID-19 health and economic crisis has put more emphasis on diversifying our economy, which includes giving agriculture a boost. All this week, we put the focus on what's possible for ulu, or breadfruit. We take you to the garden aisle and introduce you to Tom Pickett, a baker with a passion for a challenge, and that challenge is ulu. We start off in the kitchen, in the back of the house of the Kilauea Bakery and Pauhana Pizza Place.
Okay, so we're walking into your walk-in freezer now.
Yes. Our freezer, we call that Alaska, and our refrigerator's name is Oregon.
Okay, we're going to Oregon.
Easier to describe. Here is our mozzarella, and we shred this ahead of time and then make portions. It's in restaurants, you're always thinking about efficiency, so we portion it out and make it ready for a pizza.
For our listeners, you basically have an industrial-sized tray that's just filled with this
big slab,
cheese.
Slab of white cheese. And if you want to try a bite there, it's plain. You know, it's like keep the flavor neutral, fairly neutral.
Yeah, it is cheesy.
Yeah. Then, let's see. I think our cream cheese I can show you outside over by the bagels. But look at this ferment.
So you're pulling out this big container.
Big white bucket. And this is fermented breadfruit. That's all it is. There's no other ingredients except some salinity from the brine. And we call it fa'amasi, which is a Samoan term for the ferment. You can just give it a little taste.
Yeah, it's very tart.
If anybody's been to Polynesia and tried a pit fermented breadfruit, their reaction is usually curls their nose, but we finish it off in 4 days and then refrigerate it, so it's not something that has sat in the ground for a year.
It's good.
Yeah, it's fruity. Now let's go see how that bread came out of the oven.
Okay, we're leaving Oregon. Going back to Hawaii. And how long has that been fermenting?
I think that batch, I did that batch at the end of the summer. That's how Polynesians, Micronesians, Samoans used to preserve their crop, because at the end of the season, what else do you have on your island?
Right.
Coconuts and taro.
And if you're going out on a canoe, you can carry it with you.
Yeah, so they had to preserve that somehow so they could eat for the rest of the year.
And here's more of our conversation in the kitchen, where the ovens were going full blast with an assortment of breads and pizza. It's all about getting creative with ulu. It's trial and error with a dash of creativity.
We buy the breadfruit locally, and it comes down into the backyard in wagons, and then we cut it into quarters or six, and then we steam it for not completely mushy steamy, but 20 minutes, a pressure cooker, and then we cool it, and then we grind it up in our large food processor. It's called a Hobart bowl chopper, so we can chop 180 pounds at a time. That turns it into a meal like sand, like a coarse sand, and so that is what we use to make bread. In the beginning, I thought, wait a minute, why spend all this energy and all this electricity to dry the breadfruit and then make bread and then add it to the recipe and add water? So we go fresh. There's nobody, it's expensive. If you processed fresh breadfruit as a business, it just sounded too expensive to me, because I can buy wheat flour for 30 cents a pound, cornmeal for, $30, for very cheap. So how could you make ulu flour, how could you make ulu products affordable so you can sell them? All right, so making the flour would be, if I buy fruit for $1 a pound from the farmer, and then take out 75-80% of its weight, the price per pound of that flour is going to be, you know, six times more.
Right. So you basically then are experimenting with different products. You've got the Ulu pizza.
Right. So in the beginning, this was about 5 years ago. I keep a project on the side with our business. You know, we've been doing this for 30 years. We have all kinds of bakery and soups and salads, but still I get bored easily. So there's one little project at a time. And about 5 years ago, I picked on breadfruit. So I had a customer come in a long time ago, and he said, "What are you gonna do if the barges stop coming? What would you sell?" And I chewed on that for quite a while before I thought. And I thought back then, breadfruit is breadfruit. That the word works. So once I started using breadfruit and working out the processing and then mixing it, every time I turned around, it was a new surprise. So I've got, I don't know, 15 different, I've tried pastries, I've tried muffins, I've tried pizza dough, bagels, bread, and all those formulas. My rules to start with was keep the ingredients in the 20s, latitude 20 north and latitude 20 south. So we've got a little rice flour sometimes to dry out the recipe. The main ingredient is breadfruit, and then coconut oil, sometimes coconut milk, depending on the recipe. So.
A lot of it's just trial and error.
Lots of error. Yes.
lots of error. I like that.
And surprisingly, even the mistakes taste good. So you're eating it and you go, "Well, it's not what I wanted, but I want more."
What do they call that? You know, it's serendipity, right? You find something good when you're looking for something else. I don't know.
Right. Well, they say, you know, in a lot of famous foods were mistakes in the very beginning.
What do you find sells of the different products that you make with
breadfruit? What we have put on the menu from my bunch of experiments is the bagel, the bread, and this is selling towards, a lot of this is going towards the growing number of people who want gluten-free food. So the bagels, the bread, and then we have a pizza dough, so if somebody comes in and wants a gluten-free pizza dough, we have that. But then I started going further out of bounds, and we have customers that ask for pizzas with dairy-free cheese. And I don't know if you've ever tried it, but if you find a commercial dairy-free cheese around, we had to buy it, you know, on the mainland, soy-based. And it was always terrible. It was like, if that's what you want, we'll make you a pizza, but it's going to be like there's plastic on it. You know, it just doesn't melt, and is extremely expensive after shipping. So I thought, after the breadfruit World Summit over at the Polynesian Cultural Center, I came home. Yeah, with some ideas, with some of the fermented breadfruit ideas that some of the Micronesians had there. And I thought, well, I like fermenting. We've got fermented vegetables. We've got sourdough starters. And I thought, well, let's ferment this. Right? Checked online. I broke it down. First thing I did was I did it actual Micronesian style. So I went down and I got some seawater because part of the process is brining, but they use seawater, and it's called pit fermentation. I didn't actually dig a pit, but I used buckets and stuff. But we've refined it. It ferments wonderfully, and just surprisingly, it's about a four-day process. And at the end of the 4 days, once you make it smooth in the bowl chopper and put it into a bucket into its anaerobic storage state, if you don't get it into the refrigerator soon, the bucket just starts, the top comes off.
It just explodes.
Yeah. And I had our ferment tested at a lab in California, and it had twice the probiotic lactobacillus bacteria that yogurt has. So it was just beautiful stuff. I'm not sure how I got to cheese from that, but I started looking into recipes and methods of making a cheese substitute. We've got a mozzarella cheese substitute made from breadfruit that is solid at 40 degrees. You can shred it on a cheese shredder, sprinkle it on the pizza. It's the right color. It's a white, creamy white color. It melts. You're gonna have to draw the line and it doesn't stretch. It's not
okay,
like
not quite mozzarella, but close enough.
But it's much more palatable than these other brands. So from there I went to a cream cheese, a spread, an Ulu cheese spread, and then a neat little butter idea. Both those, since they're not cooked, they're live foods. So we serve the cream cheese, the Ulu style cream cheese, on our bagels. And so you're actually getting a little bit, it's like eating yogurt.
So your customers, are they a lot of tourists, or do you have people that just kind of grew up on breadfruit and are willing to try something different?
We get both. We have to make many more Ulu bagels in the morning to satisfy their needs.
And moving from the kitchen, we sat down at a table outdoors, and Tom Pickett brought out samples for an Ulu feast.
Okay, so tell us what you brought out here.
Well, we brought out a pizza with tomatoes and artichokes and olives. The different part about the pizza is that the crust is made with Ulu, with breadfruit, and so is the cheese. So those are two of our formulas. Over here is a breadfruit bagel. I spread it with our cream cheese look-alike, made from Ulu, and hummus. So it makes great hummus. There are some recipes out there, but just take any garbanzo hummus and substitute breadfruit the way I described steaming and chopping.
Right.
Which I did. I also described that on our webpage too. And then our loaf of bread. So I can cut the bread here. This is the tough part. Radio, you can't see it.
You can't see it.
Yeah. And you can see that it's got a crumb, it's got holes in it, it's tender. So give that a squeeze. It reports back,
yeah.
You squeeze it springs back, it just makes great bread. And that, like I say, there's no, the only dry flour in it is a little bit of brown rice flour.
Ulu with a little help from brown rice. That was Chef Tom Pickett of Kilauea Bakery and Pauhana Pizza, located at the historic Okonglung Market on the road to the lighthouse. He was sharing his creations of Ulu cream cheese, Ulu bagels, and Ulu pizza. And he told me this morning he has added a Ulu noodle for pad thai and a Ulu chocolate cake to the menu. Hats off to his ingenuity with Ulu.